Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Jonathan Schanzer, Executive Director, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, reporting on the Middle East conflicts. There are many of them in all directions. We're going to begin, however, with what is called the Cairo Summit, happening most recently, a meeting of Arab states adopting what was called an Egyptian plan about Gaza. This meant to refute so-called Gaza Riviera remarks by the President of the United States. The report also is that Israel was unhappy with the results of the Cairo summit that happened a week ago. And I want to tuck up with Jonathan what is to be made of this idea of a Cairo plan for Gaza. Jonathan, Israel is unhappy, but the Arab states are necessary in order for a solution of any kind in this conflict, not only with Gaza, but also with Hezbollah and the Houthis and the West Bank. Is there more to the Cairo plan than face-saving? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, I would say that there is more to it. It's incomplete right now. What the Arabs have offered by way of Cairo is a $53 billion plan of reconstruction over the course of roughly 5 years. The problem is that it does not address, it does not solve for the problem of Hamas. In other words, as they see it, Hamas would leave for 6 months, but then they don't talk about whether it is allowed to return or not. That is the big issue that is still lingering and still must be addressed. The rest of it, I have to say, is a giant leap forward for the Arab states. They have up until now refused to talk with anyone about a solution for Gaza. No one has raised their hand. No one has actually put forth anything constructive. So now we have some constructive ideas on the table. That is the result of Trump's Gaza Lago plan that he floated with Bibi in the White House several weeks ago. That has spurred a more urgent conversation. I think that is exactly what we would have expected from the disruptor in chief, as we might call him. He threw the Arabs into the deep end, made them come up with a plan of their own. They've done that. But this is a dialogue now. The dialogue is not over. We still need to address the question of what happens to Hamas at the end of this and how to ensure that it does not come back to rule the Gaza Strip. That's what they're talking about now. And hopefully we get somewhere.
Coming up to date in these last hours, there was a dialogue, a one-off characterized by the Secretary of State, Mr. Rubio, between a representative of the Trump administration and Hamas. I believe it took place in Doha. And this conversation went nowhere, according to Mr. Rubio. But where was it headed, Jonathan, if it had made it in advance? What was the U.S. thinking to negotiate directly with a terrorist state?
Well, look, first of all, this is a norm that's been shattered multiple times. There are a lot of people who are going to point to Donald Trump and say, you know, look at you, you know, violating these norms dating back to the presidency of Richard Nixon. That was the first president to declare that the United States doesn't negotiate with terrorists. It was back in the 1970s at the height of the PLO hijacking rampage. Now, what's happened since is actually we've seen lots of different administrations engage directly with terror groups or terror sponsors, whether it was Biden or Trump dealing directly with the Taliban, whether it was the Obama administration dealing directly with Iran and its leadership. The United States continues to negotiate with terrorists. The question is, what did we expect to get out of this? And here it's not entirely clear to me. But I do get a sense that the Trump administration is playing both good cop and bad cop together while simultaneously speaking with Hamas. They're also threatening to allow Israel to destroy it threatening to open up the gates of hell, threatening that this will be the end of them if they don't negotiate. They've tried both tactics. I don't know if any of them have worked, but that appears to have been the approach taken by Adam Buller, the hostage negotiator for the Trump administration. He's taken a lot of heat, by the way, in recent days for having engaged in this discussion. I think it was something that they wanted to keep under their hats. It has leaked out. Buller has said that he's never given them additional legitimacy. He's not actually given anything up in terms of negotiations. The one thing that you'll hear out of Israel is that he's legitimized Hamas, that he's given them greater standing in the world stage, that you have the world's greatest power in the world, the strongest Western power for sure, engaging directly with a terrorist group that is on its last legs, that has been largely defeated by Israel, can barely control the territory in the Gaza Strip. And here the United States is sending an emissary to meet with one or more of their leaders. There's nothing really positive that I can say about this other than one thing, John, and that is that the Qataris have been cut out of the process. It appears right now that even though the Qataris are hosting these talks, they're not direct parties to them. And I think that's positive, given the fact that the Qataris have played arsonist and firefighter with this war in Gaza from the beginning. They've supported Hamas while purporting to be honest brokers for a hostage deal. That does not work, in my view. And so I'm glad to see the dynamic shift, even if I'm still perhaps a bit dismayed to see the U.S. bestowing legitimacy upon an international terrorist organization.
The actors who present themselves as negotiating for Hamas in Doha, are they in communication with anything in Gaza? And at what authority do they have then? It seems almost as if speculation on their part, what is to be done?
It's an interesting question, and I don't know how much communication is even possible at this point, because the Hamas operatives on the ground are forced to shroud their communication. They're turning off cell phones for fear of being tracked by the Israelis. They have encrypted comms. They have the ability to engage with others outside of the Gaza Strip. And I'm assuming that's how the messages are going back and forth between Mohammed Sinwar and Khalil Ohaya, Mohammed Sinwar being the head of the military operations in Gaza, Khalil Ohaya being the political figure operating outside of Gaza. But this is complicated, to put it mildly, and I don't know where you get even a modicum of agreement between the Hamas leadership, whoever is still left. This is not an easy thing to navigate, but I think at least for now we can assume that there is sporadic communication that is still informing the discussion about a possible end of war.
At the same time, there is this headline in these last hours from Reuters: Israel's halt of food and aid deliveries worsens Gaza conditions. My understanding about the food is that there's plenty of food in Gaza, much of it stolen by Hezbollah's gunmen, but plenty of food. The electricity story, I'm told, is qualified by the fact that most electricity in Gaza is created by generators run by fuel, not from outside like we do in America. As for water, I don't have a version of that, although there are always wells. What is the thinking by the IDF to just create this headline?
Yeah, I think, you know, in some ways this is a red herring, in some ways this is a red flag. The way that I would put it, John, is that yes, the food that has come in, there's enough to keep Gaza satisfied, the sufficient calorie count, and then some for the citizens living there, for the civilians that are not involved in the fighting. They should have enough to eat. The fuel, you're absolutely correct, that it is fuel that keeps the generators going, and that's how heating and electricity is generated in the Gaza Strip. And the fuel, there should be enough of it, at least for the time being, to stave off a crisis. The question that I think Israel needs to answer is whether they are engaging in punitive measures against the broader population. I think if you talk to the Israelis, they'll tell you that the answer to that question is no. But when they begin to talk about cutting off significant aid That's the kind of thing that gets the attention of the ICC and ICJ. Of course, these are bodies that have already started targeting Israel for bogus war crimes, and they've already lost credibility. But that doesn't give Israel a green light to engage in policies that could be construed as collective punishment. They're just going to have to move very carefully and deliberately here if they want to stay on the right side of international law and not to appease these corrupt agencies that have already shown themselves to be just tools of autocratic actors in the Arab world or beyond, but really to make sure that Israel maintains the high ground, the moral high ground in this conflict. And so I think the Israelis, again, will just have to tread very carefully moving forward.
The hostages, the ceasefire, I'm confused. Is there a ceasefire? Is there a phase two? Where are we on the hostages, those left, more than 50?
There are, as I understand it, there is no ceasefire at this point. Both sides have just simply agreed to stop fighting, but it is not an officially brokered ceasefire. As you recall, John, the Palestinian Hamas terrorist group wanted to move to phase two. The Israelis were not eager to move to phase two because it would mean ending the war, in so many words, and allowing Hamas to remain in power. So what we have right now are efforts to extend the quiet. Those efforts are being brokered by the U.S. The Israelis have offered quiet through the end of the month of Ramadan, so another roughly 3 weeks from now, plus another few weeks on top of that to account for Passover. That would take us until mid-April, should Hamas agree. And it's unclear whether they will. Right now, it's de facto that they are. So that's the big question, is how much longer this ceasefire can continue. I don't have a lot of faith in this quiet lasting past mid-April, unless Donald Trump's envoys, Steve Witkoff and Adam Bowler, whether they're able to reach a different kind of an arrangement, notably, I think, one that would see Hamas leaving the Gaza Strip permanently. In other words, looking a bit more like the early 1980s agreements brokered by Ronald Reagan when the PLO was whisked out of Beirut. That's the kind of thing that ends this thing permanently. Right now, we are not there. And so I think we're at a dangerous intersection where war can erupt again at any point.
I'm speaking with Jonathan Shanzer, the executive director of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. We're headed north to Hezbollah territory.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.